Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church. It's good to have you all with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you in the name of Jesus, and we pray that you would sense his presence as we gather before our Father in him through the Spirit this morning. Before we get started in worship, a few announcements this morning. A few prayer requests to pass along. Ken Van Grau is in the hospital right now with pneumonia, so keep him in your prayers. I visited him last night and seems to be doing okay, but keep him in your prayers this week. We also pray for continued healing for Mike Van Otterloo. We know that his surgery went well, it seems, and so keep him in your prayers as well. He had his knee replaced on Thursday, so. A few other announcements. We're having communion this morning. As you can see, our communion policy is, if you're visiting with us, that if you are baptized and you have professed your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are more than welcome at the Lord's table. And at the appropriate time, you can come forward and receive the bread and the wine. But if you haven't been baptized and haven't professed your faith in Jesus, then we would ask that you not participate. Not because you're not welcome, but because we want you to recognize who is here. It's for those who are one with Jesus. But you're still welcome to come forward. At that time, put your hand over your heart, and I will pray a blessing over you, because this is the Lord's table, a table of grace and mercy. So that's our communion policy. Today's special offering, we always have a special offering during communion, is designated for World Renew. And I think Glenn has an announcement he would like to make as well this morning. You can use the microphone if you want.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. It's
a nice day out, isn't it? We got ribbons already. We got, I'm the fourth place, and Elmy had the first place.
Good job. Yeah, good job bowling, Glenn. Good job. Glenn got fourth place, and the other person got first. So good job, Glenn. Again, our special offering is for World Renew. We're going to be participating in World Renew's project where you can buy different things for people, like ducks or geese or different sorts of things. We're going to be doing that in Sunday school. And so part of that, our funding, will go for that sort of thing today as well for our special offering. Also, you might have noticed in the back a whole bunch of boxes for Operation Christmas Child. They're going to be handed out this morning after the morning service, and they are due back November 11th.
The
12th. Okay. So the council will be meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow. If you have any concerns or anything you want the council to deal with, talk to me or one of your elders. The women's evening, women's Bible study on Wednesday evening is October 24th at 6:30 p.m. They're going through lesson 3 in the DVD series, You Are Free. Next week, we have our nursing home ministry as well. We're going to be doing outreach services at Good Samaritan, Park Place Estates, and the Pride Group. And we'll just have one rotation this section. We'll only have it this coming week, but not the following week, because I filled in for the Methodist pastor a few weeks ago, and they're going to take our November rotation. So we'll have one chance to do that this coming week. And then you can see also next week we have the Youth for Christ Bowl-a-thon going on. So please support this fundraiser with your donations and bowling if you can make it. So see Elaine Van Otterloo for more on that. Again, our election night soup supper is coming up. You can read more about that in the bulletin. There's a whole bunch of stuff on that. I'm not going to go through it. But the final thing to note is that we are all invited to the Kingdom Boundaries Prison Aftercare 4th Annual Fall Banquet, Monday, October 29th at 5:30 at the Carmel Reformed Church in Rock Valley. It's going to be a fellowship time and a silent auction at 5:30. Really encourage you to think about going to that. Pete is involved in that. If you've got questions about it, you can talk to him as well. Really just a wonderful ministry for those who are coming out of prison. That's all for our announcements this morning. Brothers and sisters, I would ask you to stand now for our call to worship. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. Brothers and sisters, we come into the presence of this God, the one who lives and dwells in his holy temple, and the one who is not silent but speaks to each one of us. We come into his presence this morning with a song, singing our song of worship, "Open the Eyes of My Heart." We come singing like the angels, holy, holy, holy. We enter into the holy God's presence, and he greets us with these words this morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Having been greeted by God, the holy God, we now say our prayer of confession this morning, which is actually a song of confession, singing together, "Just as I am, without one plea." Gracious One assures us of our peace with him this morning. Hear the good news. The Apostle Paul says that this saying is faithful and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom each one of us is chief in our own way and in our own kind. He himself bore on his body on the tree all our sins, so that we might be dead to all that is evil and alive to all that is good. And if you have confessed your sins this morning, brothers and sisters, Jesus assures you of your peace with the Father by the Spirit. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace and sin no more. And having received that assurance of peace with our Father, we now turn to one another and we pass that peace on to one another. We greet each other in Christian love in Christ's holy name. It is now time to gather our hearts together as one and to bring our cares, our frustrations, our joys, all that we are before our Father in heaven. And as we talked about in catechism class this morning, we pray through Jesus who is in heaven, even now, the one who ascended to the right hand of God. And this is one of the ways in which he benefits us. He pleads our case before the Father. Not that the Father needs any special pleading. He loves us and cares for us. So let us bring before our Father in Jesus through the Spirit our cares this morning. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise your name, that you are the one who is high and lifted up, that you are the one who is beautiful in Zion, that you are the one to whom all nations of the world come streaming, that you are the one who blesses all people, and that you are the one who offers life. Lord, we give thanks that you have gathered us into that life in Christ. We give thanks that you loved us before the world began, that you have had your eye on us and called us to be your own. Lord, bring many more into your church. Bring many more into your kingdom. Lord, use missionaries like our missionaries, the Havlicheks and the Michelsons, to spread the joy of you, the Holy Triune God, throughout the nations, that all may see your beauty and glory and find peace in your love. Lord, you are the one who rules all things. As Creator, Reconciler, and Redeemer, we pray, Lord, that you would rule over our governments as well in this old world. We think especially of our government here in the United States, both at the local level, the state level, and at the federal level. We pray, Lord, that your mercy and grace would be upon each of our elected representatives, and that you would give them wisdom to govern wisely and with righteousness. Lord, this morning we think of those among us who are struggling in different ways with illnesses and surgeries. We pray, Lord, that you would be near to them. We pray, Lord, that Kathy Vermolm would continue to heal from her hip surgery. We pray for Mike Van Otterloo with his knee surgery, that he would heal quickly as well. We pray, Lord, for Ken Van Grau, that you would touch his lungs and help him to get through this bout of pneumonia and heal up from that soon. Lord, we think of John Noble, who continues to struggle with health issues. We pray that you would be with him. Lord, we pray for John and Mary Van Hill's daughter, Sandra, Lord, who is still struggling with her bone cancer. We pray that her treatment would be a success, and we pray, Lord, for remission for her. We pray for healing. Lord, it seems impossible to us, and yet with God all things are possible. Lord, we pray this morning for Greg Schmidt. We pray for his cancer as well. We pray for remission for him also. Lord, be with him. We pray this morning for Glenda Hoffland. She has recently had her lungs cleaned again, Lord. We pray that the new attempts at treatment would be more effective. Be with her, Lord. Be near to her. Be near to all who cannot be with us this morning. We think of Frank Vandenbosch and Patty Ritzema. We think of Margaret Hoff. We think of Denise Masterbergen. We think of Jan Sneller. We think of Audrey Van Grau. Lord, go to your people, wherever they are, and bless them with your presence. And Lord, as we pray each week, we pray that you would be near to your people in this church who are struggling with so many things, so many fears, so many anxieties, so many problems that we all have, that we all face, the sorrows that linger in our hearts, the sins that cling to us, the wrongs that others do us. And Lord, we are often brokenhearted. Go near to your people, assure of forgiveness, assure of love, and surround us with your peace. Lord, whatever our spot, whatever our lot, wherever we are, teach us to pray in Jesus, to take his prayer on our lips and say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would ask deacons to come forward and to take our morning offering.
In my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul, I will trust in him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. Thank you.
will sweep through the tribes of Joseph like a fire. It will devour them. And Bethel will have no one to quench it. There are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many of your offenses and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent will keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 90, and we will read it together responsively. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'll be reading from Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Jesus the great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us in our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We have a little new song of response here. I'm going to sing through it once, and then will you join me the second time through? And then we'll be singing it again after the gospel reading.
Lord, to whom shall we go? Yours are the words of eternal life. Lord, to whom shall we go? Yours are the words of eternal life.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. If you're visiting with us this morning, we always try to read the gospel from the center of the people of God, because it symbolizes that Jesus came down from his throne on high. God the Son came down and took on human flesh, came into our very midst, became one of us. So hear now the words of Jesus, the story of Jesus, near to you, in your very heart. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel of the Lord. Continue our series this morning from the book of Mark, the gospel reading for today, and I would ask that you pray with me this morning that God's word would enter into our hearts, that he would come by his spirit and make it alive to us. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Father, we would see Jesus. Holy Son, we would know you. Holy Spirit, we would be led to the feet of the Master. Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, would you tear the veil between heaven and earth and come down among us on this day, in this place, at this time, and speak Jesus to us. Father, speak your word, and Spirit, bring us to that word and through that word back to the Father. We need you, Lord. Without you in this moment, there will be no word. There will simply be a little noise, a human voice, and no power. So would you anoint us all with your Spirit and anoint my mouth to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ again this morning. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's early in the morning. The teaching is done across the Jordan River. Jesus is now about to get back on the road that is heading to Jerusalem, where he will be crucified, the road of discipleship, the road that his disciples have been with him on now, all the way from the north up in Galilee, down winding its way into Judea, now across the Jordan, where he has taught them again and again what it means to be a disciple. And yet there are still a few lessons that remain. And so they break camp. The disciples are grumbling and rubbing the grit out of their eyes, breaking fast on a bit of salted fish, some dry bread, climbing to their feet and getting on that meandering path along the Jordan River, heading towards Jerusalem. And just as the disciples are about awake in this moment, they begin to hear the rustle and thump of running feet behind them. And the party turns and looks over their shoulders, and here comes a young man down the path, running at full speed, and Jesus raises his arm, and everyone stops and turns. And they can see him now, see him clearly, his arms pumping, his legs flailing, the purple, rich tunic, sweat stain clinging to his skin, that expensive cloak bouncing on his shoulder. The last few feet, he stumbles and falls before Jesus. His breath is coming out in labored gasps, a trickle of sweat dripping from his nose, which is complementing the blossoming dark circles under his armpits, on his back and chest. He lays there before Jesus on the ground, eager, lifting his hands. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The disciples are impressed. By now they're wide awake and they're wiping the crumbs out of their twisted beards. Man, this guy is the perfect fit for a disciple. He's excited. He's passionate. He's all in on the kingdom of God. That's clear. Man, he wants it. And on top of it, he's rich to boot. We wouldn't have to worry about hardtack and gross fish in the breakfast for breakfast anymore. He could fund our ministry. He could do so much for the kingdom of God. There are a few jokes passed around, but eagerness at the sight of this young man who has come to Jesus looking for the kingdom, looking for eternal life. But Jesus stands quiet, pulls the hood off of his head, and looks down at the young man. Why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? The disciples have been puzzled about this as well. You didn't call rabbis good in this sense. This signaled that Jesus was more than a rabbi to this young man, that he could see that there was something special about Jesus. Why do you call me good? The only one that is good is God alone, the one God to whom we pray each morning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The prayer of every Israelite. That is the one who is good. Why do you call me good? But you know the commandments, young man. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall honor your father and mother. The young man is nodding. All these things I have done from the day I took the yoke of the law upon my shoulders, from the day I stood up in the synagogue on my 13th birthday and read from the Torah, the day I became a man, I have kept these. I have worked hard. And Jesus looks now deep into this young man. He looks into who he is. He sees the passion for the kingdom. He sees the excitement. He sees the desire to be a disciple. And he smiles at this. But then a shadow crosses his face, a shadow that the disciples have seen all too often. Because Jesus looks beyond that and sees deeper. He sees a raw fear, an anxiety that pulses within the young man. A sense that all is not well in his life. And Jesus sees how he seeks to fill that, to soothe that fear with vast estates that he has received from his father, an inheritance, slaves, fields, orchards, money coming in, money going out,
He sees how the young man uses that to cover the fears, to distract himself from all that presses upon his mind. The fear of death, the fear of life, the fear of judgment day. Jesus sees how he trusts this wealth. After all, does it not say in the law that those who are righteous will be blessed, blessed with abundance? And so his wealth soothes him of the fears of this life and the fear of the life to come. But still that fear is there, enough of a fear to make him chase after Jesus and throw himself at Jesus' feet. Jesus looks and he sees all of this, and he loves him. "One thing you lack," says Jesus in a quiet voice. And the young man's head is bobbing up and down. "Yes, yes, whatever it is, you name it, I will do it. You want me to follow after you? You want me to fund your ministry? You want me to take part in the coming of the kingdom? I'm there with you. Whatever you say, go, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." And the young man's face clouds over. It clouds over. Why is he asking for this? Why is he asking for my security? Everything that keeps this life hopeful for me. I have all of those fields and vineyards, all of the inheritance that has come to me by my Father. Everything that distracts me from the end. Why does he seek this? Why does he seek the sign that God loves me? The sign of God's blessing, that I am a righteous man. See, look at my wealth. Proof. Proof that I tithe faithfully, that I pour my money into the temple treasury. Proof. Proof that clearly I am a good person. Why does he seek this? His face clouds over, and he turns and stumbles away, the rain of his tears falling on his purple sweat-stained tunic, wipes his nose with his expensive cloak. And Jesus looks around at all of the disciples who have their own furrowed brows and are just totally unclear of what has just happened. He was the perfect recruit. He was passionate. He was all in for the kingdom. And he had money. He could have funded things. He could have helped things. After all, Jesus has plenty of people funding his ministry. All the women who follow along behind, they fund everything. Why not this guy? How hard it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Disciples' brows are furrowing. So Jesus explains, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God." And the disciples are baffled. What is he saying? Wealth is a sign of God's favor. If the successful people, if the people who have everything can't get in, then who can get in? Who can be saved? We've often heard this story. We've probably heard it maybe hundreds of times. We've heard it so much that we probably don't really hear it anymore. Yeah, 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 camel through the eye of a needle and all that. But if we listen to the story, if we really listen, we should be as confused as the disciples, puzzled by what Jesus says. Because we live in a culture that is predicated on money, the movement and flow of money. We live in one of the wealthiest nations in the world, one of the wealthiest nations that ever have been. Our former president is a multimillionaire. Our current president is a multibillionaire. We live in a culture that is made of money. We are surrounded by advertisers who assume that we are walking money, that we are economic units that can be tapped into. Money is the lifeblood of everything we do. These are the successful people, the people with money. They have worked hard, they finally got what they deserve, and now they are the pinnacle of success. They are the ones who have power, authority, and rightfully so. And we long to be like them. We seek to emulate them. We seek to follow in their footsteps. These are the people blessed by God, right? Why do we seek to follow them? Why are we consumers in a consumer culture that puts everything on money? Well, because deep within us, often, there is a raw fear, an anxiety about this life, an anxiety about the life to come. And money promises to take care of that, to dull that, to soothe that fear. Are we fearful about our children's education? Well, money will take care of that. Are we afraid of dying? Well, money can fund research that can extend our lives. Are we stressed at work? Money can buy the little cabin in the Rocky Mountains for some time off. Are we under someone's thumb at work or at home? Money gives us power. Money gives us security in this moment. Money soothes away the boredom, the frustration. How many times do you come home and things have not gone well? I'll admit to doing this sort of thing. You get online on Amazon. I go to Amazon because there are books on Amazon, right? There's everything on Amazon, but there are books. And you know I like books if you've looked in my study. And I'm feeling kind of down, and I think, you know what? I've got my wish list here. Maybe I'll just order a couple books. And I click, and I just feel so much better because there are books coming my way in a couple days, two-day prime shipping. Just a little bit of money will take care of that. We live in a culture saturated with the love of money. And there are plenty of preachers who will tell us as well that money is a sign of God's favor. In one sense, of course, that is true. God does bless people if you are wise and you steward your resources. It's wisdom. But there are some who will say, well, if you just have enough faith, God will give you what you want. Money, 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 to quote Jimmy Swaggart. Money, money. So if you have enough faith, clearly you will have that personal jet that you've always wanted. See? Okay, he's got his personal jet, so he must be right with God. And so we are confused. We like to imagine ourselves running after Jesus, falling down at his feet, panting. What should I do? What do you want, Jesus? I'll do anything for you, whatever you want. But what if Jesus says, I want all your money? All the money that papers over your insecurities, your fears, your anxieties. What if I want all of it? Go sell all that you have. give to the poor, have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When the cloud passes over our face, all our fears coming to the front of our mind, why would he take away our security? Why would he demand my bank account? The fear. And do we go away crying in our purple tunic and expensive cloak? How hard it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into the kingdom. And so we say with the disciples, who then can be saved? If the successful people cannot be saved, then who can be saved? And it is here that Jesus looks deep into who we are. Same looking that he does to the young man. Same word in Greek, emblepo, to look deep. He gazes past our fluttering hearts. He gazes past Peter's fear, our fear. With human beings, this is impossible. But not so with God. All things are possible with God. Jesus looks past all of this, the greed that we use to soothe our fear. And he loves us in that moment. He loves us. How can we be saved? It's impossible with human beings, but it's possible with God. How can we be saved? Well, who is the one who has sold all that he has and given to the poor? Who is the one who has received his father's inheritance and passed it out to strangers? Who is the one who has lost everything and gained treasure in heaven? It is Jesus himself. Jesus is the one who has sold everything and given to us poor, rich people, given us the inheritance of heaven. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He who was being rich became poor for us so that we through his poverty might become rich. Jesus sold all that he had and gave it to the poor, gave it to us. He gave us the inheritance of heaven. He gave us the Father's love, his Father. He gave us a family that stretches from this time into the next. All those who follow me, says Jesus, when Peter says, well, we've left everything. Yes, yes. Those who have left behind fathers and mothers and daughters and children and sons and land, wives, everything. Those who have left all things for me, they will receive 100-fold in this life and eternal life in the age to come. They will receive brothers and mothers and fathers and children, sons and daughters and wives here and now and in the age to come. They will receive a whole family. Jesus has received the Father's inheritance. He has sold all that he has, and he has given it to us. And now he invites us to enter into his giving. He invites us to go, sell all that we have, give to the poor, and to come follow him. Now, does this mean that we need to go out and cash in our 401ks and liquidate all our assets and dump it into the nearest charity? No, not necessarily. But what it means is that if we are one with Jesus, he is taking control of our bank accounts. He is blessing others through us. He is calling forth prayers of praise to the Father through our dollars and cents. Because all that we have belongs to him. We are rich because of him. We are rich with heavenly riches. We have a Father. we have a family, and we have eternal life. And there is no longer a need to fear. There is no longer a need to fear anything in this life. There is no longer a need to fear death, because we have everything. And so now we can be free to give. It is better to give than to receive, said Jesus. We have everything in him. And we find that as he enters more and more into our life and he begins to write the checks more and more, that we begin to feel free. That nagging fear, that sense of no security, of if I don't have money, what's going to happen? We begin to let that go, because we have the Father's love. We have brothers and sisters, and we have eternal life. And so we can give freely. Go, sell all that you have, give to the poor, have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. It's actually a call to joy, a call to being set free from all that strangles us in this world, all that we use to sort of try to push away our fears. We have no need to fear, for Jesus has sold all that he has and given it to us. And brothers and sisters, that is the good news this morning. That is the gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We come now to the table of the Lord together. And the table of the Lord is a sign and seal of this inheritance that we have received, that Jesus truly has sold everything. He did not grasp after it, said Paul, his inheritance, though he being God did not grasp after being God, but instead took on the form of a servant, suffered the death on the cross, so that we might participate with him in God the Father. He has given you everything, and this supper is a sign of that richness, those riches that have been poured out upon you, of a loving Father, of loving brothers and sisters, of a family, and of the resurrection from the dead that we all look forward to, seen in the body of Christ. So now, brothers and sisters, we come to this table. And if you have been baptized and professed your faith in Jesus, you are welcome here at the Lord's table. If you have not, feel free to come forward, put your hand on your heart, and I will pray a blessing over you. Otherwise, feel free to sit in the pews and listen to the beautiful communion music. Let's come now and participate in the riches of Christ. All who are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and who have expressed their love for Jesus within the fellowship of the church, are welcome at the Lord's table. Come, for all things are now ready. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy and right it is, and our joyful duty, to give thanks to you at all times and in all places, O Lord our Creator, almighty and everlasting God. You created heaven with all its hosts and the earth with all its plenty. You have given us life and being and preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, made flesh for us and for our salvation, and for the precious gift of this mighty Savior who has reconciled us to you, who has offered us the inheritance that he had. We praise and bless you, O God. And with your whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven who share in his riches, we worship and adore your glorious name, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world. and in the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. And together we proclaim the mystery of the faith, saying, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit upon us, that the bread which we break and the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that being joined together in him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Brothers and sisters, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. I would ask elder to come forward, our former elder to come forward at this time. Our practice is you receive the bread and then dip it into the wine as you come forward. Come, brothers and sisters. The table is now ready. Brothers and sisters, would you stand now? Christ died for us. He sold all that he had, and he gave to the poor. He gave to us so that we might be rich. And now he invites us into his giving. So give, brothers and sisters. Feel the generosity of Jesus within you and give to those who are less fortunate. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children said together, Amen.